Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you all for sticking around. I'm excited to be here. And just want to acknowledge my co-investigators from the University of Michigan. These are our disclosures. And so as we've heard, long-acting reversible contraceptive methods are highly effective, they're safe, have lower failure rates, higher satisfaction and continuation rates than more commonly used short-acting methods. And while we've also heard there have been very encouraging trends over time and in recent years with uptake of LARC methods among U.S. women, there are still differences across subgroups of women. And so we know, for instance, that adolescent and young adult women still have lower rates than the general population of women. And that is also true amongst special groups of adolescent and young adult women, such as college educated women. And so as many of you have heard, there's been increasing attention to promoting LARC methods among women, and young women in particular. And so organizations like the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American Academy of Pediatrics, World Health Organization, FDA, have all sort of recently recommended the use of LARC as effective and valid options for adolescent women. And so this is a statement recently from the American College Health Association, who's also jumped on the bandwagon, and their recent report on long-acting reversible contraception. It's a good fit for college students, too, basically. I like how they say, we can confidentially recommend and provide LARC to all of our sexually active females. So it's a step in the right direction. And indeed, college health settings and college settings in general are really an underutilized resource for improving young women's use of highly effective methods. Given that 18 million students attended U.S. colleges in 2012 alone, this is really a unique opportunity to reach large numbers of diverse reproductive age groups of women. Unfortunately, though, the recent American College Health Association's National College Health Assessment, which is the longest standing, most comprehensive, reoccurring survey of college students in the U.S., and really what we consider to be the national benchmark for health-related data amongst college students, has reported that in recent years, the rates of LARC uptake for IUDs and implants are still lower than all adult women in the U.S. compared to National Survey of Family Growth data. So my team and I were interested in understanding what's happening on campuses and getting sort of a multi-level perspective of potential barriers to LARC acceptability as well as uptake. So we were not just interested in the idea that LARC is the best method for all women, but rather that women are aware of LARC and that they consider it one of many options as acceptable methods for family planning. And so we undertook a multi-phase, larger project, the first part of which I'll present today. And so the project started with a web-based survey study of women's knowledge around LARC methods, their attitudes towards LARC, their experiences and behaviors with LARC, as well as their perceived barriers to LARC. We used this data set to inform a qualitative study of key campus stakeholders. So this was the second phase of our project, and we were interested in getting the perceptions of other important people on campus. So, for instance, health providers at the College Health Center, health administrators, as well as faculty across campus, even administrators in central campus offices. And then both of these studies have then informed our MyLARC intervention. So this is a campus-tailored educational web-based intervention that was funded by the Society for Family Planning for one of my medical students, where we looked at basically a campus-level tailoring approach to this web-based intervention and whether it had an impact on LARC knowledge as well as acceptability and then uptake rates over 6 months. So I'm not presenting findings there, although if you're coming to the North American Forum, my student has a poster on the MyLARC results, but today I'll be focusing on the web-based survey. So in the fall of 2003, we undertook this survey that was internet-based using Qualtrics, and it was conducted at the University of Michigan. And we were interested, as I mentioned, in describing knowledge and attitudes, but also really getting an in-depth assessment of women's perceived barriers to LARC. And so individual-level barriers, as well as health systems barriers, but also campus-level barriers. All full-time enrolled female undergraduates were eligible to participate who were English-speaking and aged 18 years and older, and they were emailed a series of invitations through our university registrar's office to complete a survey on reproductive health. So we did an extensive literature review, also drawing upon our own previous work, the work of myself and my colleagues at Columbia, where we had done some work on oral contraceptive knowledge measurement. And so we adapted many of those items for LARC. We drew from the Fog Zone survey, from the National Campaign, and Guttmacher work. So a variety of sources to create this LARC survey. And the survey included 55 items measuring multiple dimensions of women's understanding of and experiences with IUDs and implants. And we examined and compared LARC knowledge scores as well as perceived barriers using descriptive, bivariate, and regression statistics. So here's just a snapshot of our sample characteristics. We had nearly 2,000 women complete the entire survey. The mean age, as you can see, was 19 years, and women were spread sort of evenly across their undergraduate program years. The majority of women were white, insured, employed, had mothers with at least some college education, and identified as heterosexual. Significant proportions resided on campus, so they were living in a dorm or other campus location, were not in a relationship, were not religiously affiliated, and did not attend religious service frequently. Here are the reproductive characteristics of the sample. So you can see the majority of women were sexually active, but very few had been pregnant or reported pregnancy, a history of pregnancy. And then also, very few had ever considered an IUD or an implant as a contraceptive method. So we had a whole series of items to assess LARC knowledge, and before I go into the results of these specific items, we had some general items that assess self-reported knowledge. So we asked women if they'd ever heard of LARC or long-acting reversible contraception, and only 22% of women in our sample had ever even heard of LARC. And then when we ask about level of self-reported knowledge, overwhelming majority, nearly 90% of women reported little or no knowledge of IUDs and implants. And these, remind you, are Michigan undergraduate students. And so here are some responses to selected LARC knowledge scale items. there was 20 items for this particular knowledge scale, and the mean score was around 10 items, so about 50% of items answered correctly. And incorrect and don't know responses were the most common for mechanisms of action questions, so questions that got at the mechanisms of the method, effectiveness items, and side effect and health risk items. And so, for instance, here in these bars, you can see the incorrect and don't know responses are highlighted in the blue colors. And so you can see 65% of women incorrectly believe that LARCs would cause side effects like weight gain, 61% believe that IUD would cause infertility, and over half didn't know that LARCs were more effective than pills at preventing pregnancy. So I mentioned that the mean score was 10 out of 20, and there were differences across almost all sociodemographic groups, so you can see the significant p-values on the side. But for instance, compared to their counterparts, LARC knowledge scores were lower among younger women, non-white women, campus-residing women, unemployed, single, heterosexual, and religious women. Scores were also lower among women not in a sorority, those with less educated mothers, and those without histories of sexual intercourse, contraceptive, and LARC use. And the results were similar in the multivariable models. So among women who reported one or more barriers to LARC, which was around 1,600 women, the most common barriers to IUDs, which is shown in the blue bars, was not knowing enough about the method, not wanting a foreign object in your body, preferring to use a method that you can stop and start, and then less common was worries about pain, side effects, serious health problems, cost, and not being in a long-term relationship. And the results were similar for implants, shown in the blue bars. And then we asked women to report their number one reason why they wouldn't use an IUD or an implant, and not knowing enough about the method was the most common for both methods. So, as I mentioned, we were also interested in sort of a multi-level perspective and getting women's perceived barriers at the health services level as well as the campus level. And we were particularly interested in this because the University of Michigan is a very comprehensive college health services setting. And so we have a full women's clinic. When I was there, I practiced there. And the majority of women's health clinicians could insert IUDs and implants. And so the access was quite good, actually, even compared to other college settings. But then when we asked women about their perceptions of access, nearly three-quarters did not know that LARC methods were available at the College Health Center. Only 5% said that they would go to the College Health Center as their first source for information. And rather, 60% said that they would choose an outside GYN for LARC if they decided to get one. When asked about the campus climate, so we had a series of items measuring campus climate and campus community. Approximately half of women reported that they, not knowing how supportive they felt that their campus was about helping students have access to the full range of birth control methods, including implants and IUDs. And while the majority agreed that encouraging students' sexual and reproductive health is a priority on campus, and that the campus does encourage free and open discussions about sexual and reproductive health and birth control, very few women, only 19%, agreed that there was generally a positive attitude towards IUDs and implants on campus. So just some take-home messages, clearly lack of knowledge and perceived lack of support on campus were important barriers reported among women in our sample to LARC use. And not just LARC use, but LARC acceptability, which becomes our primary outcome in our intervention trial. Findings have informed the intervention study, which I mentioned, to address these key gaps in women's understanding and ultimately to improve acceptability. And comprehensive studies and programs that further address multiple levels of influence are clearly needed to inform young women's abilities to make decisions and reduce barriers to their preferred effective methods. And these are our funders. Thank you very much. So I'm happy to take questions. Yeah, so we asked women, have you ever heard, we were interested in learning whether women had heard the term LARC. And then we specified, by that we mean long-acting reversible contraception. And it was only 22% had ever even heard of LARC.
But then did all these groups, have they heard of IUD and implant? I'm just wondering.
Yes, that's a really good question. And we didn't ask it separately for each method, like have you ever heard of the IUD, have you ever heard of the implant? It was one question. But then we went on to ask about self-reported knowledge for each method. And it was still little to no knowledge among the overwhelming majority of women for both methods.
But did most people have heard of the individual methods?
Well, we didn't ask that separately from the STEM question. But again, they reported little to no knowledge of implants and IUDs. We struggled with how to frame this question. I mean, our whole study was geared around knowledge, and clearly as we were asking things, you could argue that there may have been a testing effect as the women went along in the survey. We didn't evaluate that. But it's a good question. I would hypothesize that women had heard at least of IUDs and based upon the other literature around this topic, but...
self-reported
that's a really good point.
I'm curious whether, you know, what do they just need to hear, like, you know, a 2-sentence description?
Yeah. That is an excellent point. I'll have to, no one's asked us that before. Yeah, like what they perceived as an adequate amount of knowledge and understanding then to be able to consider as a valid option. We may be able to parse some of that out with the baseline data in our intervention trial. We ask a series of these knowledge questions, and we ask a lot more comprehensive intentions questions, self-efficacy kinds of questions. So we may be able to look at that a little more closely. I would say that in the qualitative study than we did after this, we did have some students as key stakeholders. We also had student representatives from key sexual and reproductive health groups on campus that did respond in the interviews to give us a little more rich data. And that never came up in terms of like a threshold of knowledge I need to be able to make an informed decision. Other knowledge-related barriers came up, the whole idea of women misunderstanding that they have to choose between a condom and STI prevention versus using LARC as pregnancy prevention. That came up as a sort of key, an additional key knowledge that we hadn't assessed in this study. But no, that's a very important question. What do women think that they need to be empowered to make the decisions? Yeah.
Just a quick comment. Thank you. I was struck by the language of perceived barriers, and then the items that were shown. It seemed to me that they're not perceived barriers. Maybe they're barriers from your perspective, but I wonder, the way that they were framed, they sound to me like preferences and desires. And so the framing of perceived barriers struck me.
I don't disagree with you, and that's very much our language imposed. Although in the qualitative interviews, women did describe many of these things as barriers, maybe not in that exact terminology. But no, you're right. And so when we had the list, I'm trying to remember what the stem of the question said in terms of the factors that were important in their decision making, right? Yes, you're right. And I mean, clearly there was a whole list of probably 25 items that I didn't show, and some of them are more obviously and clearly and objectively barriers than the others. But right, that sort of goes into the previous comment about whether or not we could argue about whether or not lack of knowledge is a barrier in and of itself. So, I mean, I think there's conceptual and construction issues within the concepts, but from a health services perspective, many of the things that I didn't show would, I think, be considered by us as barriers. Yeah, we are too.
Did you explore any further about whether there was just low usage broadly of clinics, or were there, had they been obtaining
somewhere else?
Yeah,
I mean, that was the whole question. She asked about whether the low proportion of women who were willing to even seek services at our college health center, and that was the whole reason we undertook this study, was we were like, this is a great resource. Why are women using it? And a lot of discussions in the National College Health Association with other clinics who are having the same issue. And so the answer is two parts. One is that, yes, women were getting the women who had received contraceptive services were getting them at private GYN practices almost entirely, to some extent Planned Parenthood clinics too. And we're not sure, there's been a little bit of research on stigma associated with use of college health centers, much in the same way that it's attached to Planned Parenthood to some extent, as well as adolescent specialty clinics, the idea that the quality is not as good. So we're not sure, and actually this study has led to a new grant we submitted on diving more into the health services question and why aren't women using the services, and how can we improve that? I mean, and it's not just for contraception, it's for a range of primary care and mental health, and certainly across the spectrum of family planning, not just LARP, but the American College Health Association's on board with this study idea. We just have to get funding for the next big phase. But we've proposed a survey assessment of college health clinic sites, as well as interviews with stakeholders at a subsample of the clinics to try to find out a little more about why. Thank you very much.